Excelente. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not only good, but true. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we realize how much we need you, Lord. We are a needy people. Even when we realize the truth of the songs that have been sung today, we are coming to heaven to be with you, Lord. Your goodness follows us all the days of our life. You have been faithful unto us. And we are fighting battles that you have already won. God, we need you. I pray in these moments that you have given us together that there would be truth and help that would establish our hearts and prepare us for the remainder of this day, the remainder of this week, the remainder of our time here on this earth. Lord, I'm asking you to do in our hearts what I cannot do. Open our hearts to your truth, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak to us. Help us to be attentive to your word. Give us truth that would produce fruit that shall remain. Magnify the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Before I get started in the message this morning, I have a question to ask you. Thank you, Brother Greg. This is the list of our scripture memory for the month of March, which is on salvation. Sister Mary DeMartina had come to me and said, you know, I'd like some scripture on the Romans Road, just leading someone to Jesus, leading someone to Christ. And that was already in my heart for the month of March. And so as you leave today, I trust you'll get a copy of this. I think it would be helpful. You say, well, I already know that stuff. Well, review it. It'll be a help to you. And I hope you continue to memorize the scripture in January and February, and then you're on your reading schedule. It's very important to have a structured devotional life. It's just very important. I cannot overemphasize that. The question this morning, what do these individuals have in common? The wise men of Matthew chapter 2, the leper of Matthew chapter 8, Jairus in Mark chapter 5. The demoniac also in Mark chapter 5. The disciples on the ship in Matthew chapter 14. The woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8. The Canaanite woman, which is also referred to as the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. Peter at the miraculous catch of fish in Luke chapter 5, the mother of John and James in Matthew chapter 20, the grateful leper of 10, while 10 were healed, one came back in Luke chapter 17, the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus in John chapter 11, the father of the demon-possessed boy of Matthew chapter 17, The man born blind in John chapter 9. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as she is referred to in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. The disciples, the 11, after Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 28, 17. And John, as he saw the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter number 1. You know what they all have in common. There's probably others that as I search through the scripture, that would fit in this category. While I was in Peru, God, as He always does, He spoke to me about humility and the importance of being humble before the Lord. The importance of depending on Him and trusting in Him. Sometimes, I can't speak for you, but in my life, I say things and I mean well, but I'm not sure that I fully practice them. Dependence is one of them. We speak often as Christians about dependence, trust, humility, yielding. These are people that came to Jesus in total surrender. They fell at His feet and they worshiped Him. Can I ask you a personal question? And certainly don't want you to answer it out loud or by showing of a hand. I simply want you just to ask yourself in your heart, when is the last time? It may have been just this morning. So I'm not indicting anyone. When's the last time you have fell down at His feet in total surrender, bringing nothing to offer, and worshiped Him? It's a great place to be. Brother James sings a song here. It's one of my favorites from yesteryear. Look for me at Jesus' feet. And it talks about when we get to glory. We always talk about what we're going to do. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then the songwriter says, well, you know, as for me, you can look for me at Jesus' feet. And I do believe when we get to heaven, we're all going to be bowed prostrate around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will give Him the glory that is due His name. But can I submit to you this morning that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to do that? You, me, we can bow to His feet now. These individuals did. They came with many different needs. It shocked me as I began to do research on this Monday evening, Tuesday throughout the week. Sin, grief, sickness, bondage, guilt, fear, even death. They brought and they placed at Jesus' feet. And can I tell you, while they all came in the same manner, which was in the spirit of humility, each of them had different needs. And while Jesus did not deal with everyone exactly the same, when they got up, they were different. Can I tell you, when I worship at His feet, when you worship at His feet, it's life-changing. Now, I'm not talking about being saved. And some of these did come to Jesus about salvation. They did. But when you, when I, when we yield, when we bow, when we surrender in the spirit of humility, it's like opening the door of heaven and inviting God's richest blessings upon our life. There's just something about this old flesh and this old system of the world that we live in that says, stand tall. And the Bible says, bow low. Fight your fight. And as we heard in song today, God will fight your fight. Do your thing. Seek your will. When the Bible says, seek His will. Follow the Lord Jesus, His pattern, His desire. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It's really hard for us to voluntarily, well, let me change that. I can't speak for you. It's really hard for me to voluntarily bow at His feet. I love Him, not as I should. I trust Him, not as I should. I want to worship Him, not as I should. It's really difficult for me just to bow at His feet as I ought, regularly, brethren. I want to live my life at the feet of Jesus Christ. How about you? Say, I can't do it. Sure you can. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a mindset. You know what drove these people to the feet of Jesus? We're going to look at one example this morning. I'll probably look at more over the next several weeks. I'm not sure. I'm praying and researching. And I'm just going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 7. What brings these people to Jesus' feet is great need, great love, great humility. This morning I want to talk to you out of this passage of Scripture. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. And I wouldn't read all of this to you, except I think that it is very needful that we understand the backdrop of the truth that God has laid on my heart to hopefully help you this morning. We'll begin our reading in verse number 36, Luke 7, verse number 36. Now, in the harmony, and I hope you'll understand what I'm saying here, in the harmony of the gospel accounts, this is happening when you look back at verse 35, but wisdom is justified in all her children. You see that? You see that? Raise your hand. You say, I see that, Pastor. I read verse 35. When you go to Matthew chapter 11, you'll see this. Jesus is talking to the multitudes about John the Baptist. And after he finishes speaking to the multitude in Matthew chapter 11, he gives the great invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he began to give that analogy of take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then this happens. Now, this is not recorded in the book of Matthew. But in the harmony of the gospel accounts, after Jesus gave that invitation, somewhere along the line, there was a man by the name of Simon, a Pharisee. And he said, I would like for you to join me for a meal in my home. And Jesus graciously accepts. And then this happens. Let's read together. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. Now, if I didn't preach anything else, that says a lot about our Savior. Here is a group of people that hated him, done nothing but work against him, done everything they could to destroy his ministry and to deny him and to keep people from following him. And one of them invites Jesus into their home, and he said, sure. I mean, that says a lot about the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you, Jesus is just not for the down and outer. He's for the up and outer too. Jesus is just not for those that are in bondage to sin and debauchery. He is also after the religious and unsaved. He's not just for the bad people, brethren. Jesus is for the good people too. Because all need to be saved. All need Christ. Good, bad. Amen. Religious, non-religious. And so he went to his home. And verse 37 says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. How dare her?" And Jesus answering said unto him, now I hope you noticed that. He didn't say it out loud. He said it in his heart. But Jesus wants this man to know what's in your heart. Can I tell you, Jesus knows what's in your heart too. I know what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking too. He does. And he answered him. And he said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I'm going to interpret that for you. Simon, I'm a guest in your home, and I've got a truth that I want to put frank to you. You okay with that? And he said, Master, say on. Jesus said, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? What a question. She's right in front of him. But what he's really saying, not do you see her on the outward. Not do you see her with these eyes, but can you see her in here? Do you really see what's before you? Do you really understand what's going on? See how gracious God is to you, Simon? See how God allowed this simple invitation into your home to become a display of the grace of God, so you could see how your life could be changed, how you could get from up here to down here where life is better lived. Simon, do you see her? Do you see this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. What a conversation. You may be seated. I've given you a little bit of the overview. There's some things I want you to understand about this passage of Scripture. You're in here somewhere. I'm in this passage somewhere. This woman had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know when it was. I don't know where it was. I can say what I personally believe. You don't have to take it. I believe she was at that gathering, that Matthew 11. And I believe she heard that invitation. I do. I believe she heard, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God for the day I heard that invitation. She came. She did. Now, how long it was before she trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of her sin, and how long that she came to this dinner, if you will, I can't say. I don't know. It may have been a short period of time. There may have been a longer interval between when she received Jesus and his forgiveness and when she came to show her devotion and her appreciation and her love for his forgiveness. But the fact is, she came. The fact is, she wanted to let Jesus know, I really appreciate you for forgiving me. And I'm not ashamed to let others know. Can I tell you that in this culture, she broke every boundary known in this culture. The very fact that she showed up was brave in itself. But to enter into the home of a Pharisee, a woman of the city, a sinner, most probably, though I cannot say, but by the inference of the scripture, a woman of the streets. Now, many have tried to say this is Mary Magdalene. I'm not ready to say that. The Bible doesn't say. I think if it were her, I believe the Bible would say so. But it doesn't matter, really, if her name. What matters is her actions. Many people, just so you know, when important people, and Pharisees were considered important people, certainly in this time of his ministry, Jesus was gaining notoriety. The Lord Jesus Christ was gathering great followings. And so at this time of his ministry, he was an attraction. I mean, when he began to speak, they listened. When they found out he's in the area, they went. They had never heard anyone speak like this man. As a matter of fact, one of them said, never man spake like this man, for he speaketh with authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And so many would gather on the outside porches because they wanted to hear. It's kind of like being like the world does today, you know, when celebrities or athletes or musicians are around and they just kind of want to get around, you know, so they can hear what they've got to say or get up close to them, maybe get a selfie with them, you know, in our day. And so they would get around the porches just to say, you know, I was over Simon's house, and guess who was there? His guest was Jesus of Nazareth. My, what a conversation that was. Now, here this woman comes, but she didn't come for the conversation. She didn't come because she wanted to hear the conversation. She came because she had something she wanted to do. Now listen, she wasn't showing off. She wasn't there for attention. I want you to get this now. She was there for affection. She wanted to give. She didn't want to get. She wanted to give. There's something I want the person who forgave my sin. It has made such a radical change in my life. I want him to know it. Why she never got that opportunity before now, I do not know. I believe the very fact that she brought the alabaster of ointment, it was planned. She had that box and she said, I'm going to that place and I don't care what others think. It doesn't matter to me how they criticize me. They can say what they want about me. I want my Lord. I want the one who forgave me of my sin to know how much he means to me. Well, I tell you, it's a great day in our lives when we get to the place of this woman. To where we just say, you know what? Let them laugh. Let them judge. Let them talk about my past. Let them try to say, why in the world would you do something like this? Come busting up in here. Say what you may. I want to worship the one that forgave me of my sin. Now, I believe this woman understood something that I pray to God that we would never forget, brethren. Her sin was truly forgiven. I mean, she was forgiven. And everything that comes with it. Amen. She said, I'm glad I'm free. I'm glad I'm no longer in bondage. Amen. I'm glad my sin's forgiven. Do you really realize what that means? No more guilt. I think sometimes we forget the guilt that comes with sin, the shame that comes with sin, the purpose that comes from being forgiven. All of these things this woman was experiencing, and she said, I just want to tell him. Have you told him this week? Did you tell him this morning? When's the last time you had a come to Jesus' feet meeting to say, Lord, I just want you to know how much I love you? There is nothing too much to give to you. There was another occasion where the anointment, very similar if not exactly the same as this, was dispelled and placed upon Jesus. And of course, Judas and the other disciples said, wait a minute, couldn't this have been sold and given to the poor? I mean, obviously a very expensive thing. But you know what this woman's saying by her action? She's making a statement. There's nothing too expensive for the one who forgave me of my sin. There's nothing too much for him. And so she comes to him. And she's showing that she's repentant of her sin. She's showing, I'm so glad for what you've done in my life. Can I tell you this morning, and I know this is simple, but it's what's on my heart. I am so glad for what Jesus has done in my life. I never want to get over it. And I never will. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says if we're not careful, we can forget that we were once purged from our old sins. I don't want to get there, brethren. I don't want to be unthankful. I don't want to forget where Jesus found me. I don't. And I don't want to be ashamed of him. I don't want to be ashamed to publicly and privately and anytime, anywhere, to say, I love my master. I'm grateful for what Jesus has done in my life. This woman came and she bowed and she said, I'm thankful for the new life you've given me. I'm thankful for the new relationship that I have, for this new standing that I have in life. I now have a purpose. Remember how empty life was before Jesus? I think sometimes we forget. I really do. Man, I tell you, I was to the place in my life that I could be in a room full of people and just as lonely as you could be. Empty. Empty, brethren. But I'm no longer that way. I'm full. My cup does run over. I'm joyful. I'm happy. I don't ever want to get to the place, God, listen, I pray that if I ever began to complain against God, God would make me mute. God, help me not to complain against my Savior. God, help me not to speak against his goodness. All that God's done for me, how could I not use my language, my tongue, to praise his holy name? This woman said, that's me. That's what I want to do. So she goes in. I want you to notice in verse number 38, it says she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Now you say, how could her tears standing behind him reach his feet? Well, you have to know the custom is they were sitting. They didn't sit like we do today with their feet in front of them. They sit with their feet behind them, almost in a half-lying position. And his feet was behind him, and she walked up behind him, and she was just weeping. And her tears were hitting his feet. And then at some point, the Bible doesn't say, she knelt and she began to wipe his feet that was soaked in her tears. And then she began to kiss, the scripture says, she began to kiss his feet. And she began, and the latter part of verse 38 says, that as she, with her hairs of her head, she wiped his feet, and then she kissed his feet, and then she anointed them with the ointment. You see that? Brethren, that is saying, thank you, 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 God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. You ever got a big old case of I can't help but thank you, Lord? Amen. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I haven't forgotten where you found me. Thank you, Thank you for the change you've brought in my life. Thank you. Thank you for the different life you've given me. Where would I be without your forgiveness? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What would my life be had you not passed by my way?
Amen.
Where would I be if you had not forgiven me of my sin? What state would I be in? I don't mean geographically either. I mean emotionally. I mean mentally. I mean spiritually. What state would I be in life had you not forgiven me of my sin? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So there she is, just thanking Jesus. And then, of course, as it always is, the Bible says in verse number 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, and he said, my, that Dale Freeman is a fanatic. He's a put-on. He's a fake. And the list goes on. You say, well, he didn't say that. Well, I know. He said what a lot of people are saying, though. They're saying it about you, too, if you really worship Jesus. Oh, this old world don't want you to worship the Lord Jesus. They want you to worship you. That's right. And when you begin to give worship to God and you begin to give honor to God and we begin to give glory to God, I mean, it bothers them, brethren. It bothers them. And so here's this Pharisee, and he said within himself, if this man, if he were, you see it in verse number, don't miss it, 39, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. You know why he said that? Turn back to verse number 16. See, Jesus had been ministering, and they had gotten this mentality about Jesus that was not right, it was not real for what they wanted. Now, it was right, but not for their reason. Look in verse number 16 of chapter 7. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, this about Jesus now, a great prophet is risen among us. They said, wow. Now, it was by their own forming. Now, I want you to know that. But because of what they thought he should be doing, they said, wow, what a great prophet. But the moment that something happened outside of their box, well, if he were a prophet, he wouldn't allow this. That's what's happening. Go back now in verse number 39. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. And then he made this statement, for she is a sinner. Can I tell you, in case there's some Simons, and I'm not being mean-spirited here, but I'm going to hit you with some hard truth. If there's a Simon under the sound of my voice, you're blind. You're blind to sinners. You're blind to yourself. But more importantly, you're blind to the Savior. Could you imagine being this close to the Savior of the world and being blind? Simon had no idea who he was sitting at dinner with. He had no idea. And when we have no idea who he is, we view it all wrong. He had her wrong. Did you see what he said? He said, she's a sinner. You know the problem with Simons in our world? It's easy to say, he's a sinner, she's a sinner, he's a sinner, he's a sinner. I can't say it. I'm a pretty good old boy. Now you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Say it, Simon. Say it. That's why Jesus allowed this woman in.
Yeah.
Say it, Simon. You're a sinner. You're quick to say she's a sinner. But saying she's a sinner is not going to get you where you need to be with the Savior. Amen. I tell you, brethren, our world's filling up with people that know how to judge other people as sinners, but they can't judge themselves as a sinner. We're running out of sinners. Now, I'm saying that facetiously. We're running out of sinners because there's far too many that can say he's a sinner, she's a sinner, they're sinners, but they can't say I'm a sinner. And we're running out of that. And because we are, the world is filling up with self-righteous religion. And so Jesus said, I've got a lesson I need to teach. Came to dinner, but going to get dinner in a movie. I'm going to teach you something today, Simon. You're going to see something that you need to see. You've got your eyes on the wrong person, Simon. You're looking at the sinner. What you need to be doing is you need to be looking at yourself and me, the Savior. Can I tell you, brethren, let's get our eyes off of other people. We are far more concerned about what other people think and what other people are doing. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in trying to help people. Please don't misunderstand what I'm preaching this morning, but God help us. Let me move on now. He said here, she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, he said, I want to talk to you about something. Can I be frank with you? Now listen, this is what he's doing. This was a courtesy, by the way, in this culture. I'm going to hit you with some hard truth, Simon. I'm in your home as a guest. Would you be okay with that? Say on, master. That's what he said. Say on. Okay. Fasten your seatbelt. Verse number 41. He said, there was a creditor which had two debtors. Wonder why two? Could have been one debtor. Could have been four debtors. Could have been a whole world full of debtors. But he said, I'm interested in two. There was a creditor that had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. One owed 10 times more than the other. Now, we could get in all the particulars. Time won't allow that. That's exactly a pence, and it was a day's wage, and we could go on. That's not the message. So he said, here's the scenario. Both are debtors. You following me? And he said, neither one of them, if you look at the scripture, because this is where he's bringing Simon, and he said, Simon, he said in verse number 42, and when they had, what's that next word? Nothing. Here's your problem, Simon. They have nothing to pay. Nothing. You see, when you realize how bankrupt you were when Jesus set you free, I'm telling you, brethren, it doesn't take long to get to your knees. When we realize the condition we were truly in, no help, nothing within us, I mean broke, bankrupt. We owed a debt that was insurmountable. And then the creditor, the banker said, going to forgive both of you completely. That's what the scripture says. When you read on down in verse number 42, it says that he frankly, boy, that word is interesting. Go home and look it up. It means graciously, freely. When he graciously, without them even asking, without them even saying, hey, I need help, he just said, listen, he said, I'm going to forgive you. You owe the debt, and I'm going to forgive you the debt. And so the scripture says he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Now, this is the part I don't want you to miss. Please don't miss this. Some people have really got this wrong. And if you get it wrong, it'll really hurt you. But if you get it right, it'll really help you. And so he said, which one of them you think will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave the most. And Jesus said to him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, I think that is pretty simple, don't you? Yeah. Right? You owe a bank a ton of money, and someone else owes them some money, but it's 10 times less than what this one. This one's going to be jumping up and down. But can I tell you, this one ought to be jumping up too, but it's just kind of, you know, it's just, I think, normal to expect, well, that person that was forgiven much will be jumping the highest. You with me? Everybody with me? And then the scripture says this. He turned to that woman and he said, Simon, you see her? This is the way you need to be acting. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm not like her. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. You just don't realize it. You are like her. You just see her, but you don't see you. See, if we're not careful, we'll be thinking, well, you know, maybe looking back on it, it was just meant to be for me to get saved. I wasn't that bad. And we start playing around with these thoughts and these words and we forget. Let me tell you what was really happening. Everyone sitting in this building was swinging over the fiery pits of hell on a rotten vine, ready to drop off for eternity and be damned forever. And God, in His grace, reached out and took us in His hand when we cried out for mercy. Lord, save me! Okay. Amen? All of us. So, well, I have you to know, I was raised in a Christian home. My children were too. But they were swinging over the pit of hell. That's right, brethren. Don't make light of where Jesus found you. And so he said in verse number 44, you see this woman? He said, I come into your home, and the things you should be doing, she's doing. And then he said this. He said, wherefore, verse 47, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. Now don't miss it, brethren. Are you following? Please, if somebody next to you is asleep, reach over them, reach over and just push them a little bit, because they don't want to miss this. You say, well, if I push them, they might push me back. Well, if y'all start fighting, we'll get somebody to referee. Especially if it's husband and wife. Hey, listen, I'm about done, but please don't miss this. Listen, please don't miss this. Don't interpret this, well, you know, love brings forgiveness. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Love does not bring forgiveness. You do understand that, right? Well, I love God. That doesn't mean you're forgiven. Everybody in here ought to be saying amen. Love doesn't bring forgiveness. Love, now listen, is a response to forgiveness. It's not the amount, it's the awareness. This woman knew, I'm a sinner, I've been forgiven, and I have Jesus to thank for it. How many in this building this morning can say, yes, that's me? Amen? Sinner, cried out, Jesus saved me, and I love Him for it. I've been forgiven. Not, well, I'm a pretty good person, I haven't done a whole lot wrong, and I do love God, and I'm forgiven. No, you don't get forgiven for loving God. You love God because you realize you've been forgiven. As a matter of fact, verse number 50, please look at it. Jesus told this woman, thy faith has saved thee, not your love. You do understand that, right? Everybody understand that. We're saved by grace through faith. But when you get saved, you will show your love to the Savior. And the measure of your love toward Him is going to be equal to the measure of how much you realize you've been forgiven. And so if I walk around like, well, you know, I was a good person, and God done, He done the whole world a favor by saving me, and boy, heaven wouldn't be the same without me, so God saved me so heaven would be better. All these things where we think we deserve to be saved, none of us deserve to be saved, brethren. None of us do. We ought to be on our faces before God, prostrate before Him. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for changing my life. Like this woman. Like this woman. You say, well, wait a minute now. I wasn't somebody out on the street, you know, prostituting my body. You were a rotten sinner. Just like me. And every one of us ought to come before God and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for changing my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. I could never praise you enough, Lord. Jesus taught many great lessons here. I want to give you three things as I close. Number one, affection. She loved because He loved. She realized how much He loved her. Forgiveness helps us to see how much God loves us. And so she loved as a reciprocal love. Now, she's not saved by love, but by faith. Because love does not produce forgiveness, but forgiveness produces love. I hope you understand that. Are you affectionate toward Jesus? Do you ever get along with the Lord and just cry and say, God, thank you for saving me? Do you? I believe you do. I do. I believe many of you do. Do you spend time alone with God telling Him thank you? Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. I can never thank you enough. I want to thank you one more time for being good to me. Have you? I pray that you have. Number two, not only affection, but assurance. Look at verse 48. Jesus said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You see that? There's something about going in the presence of Jesus with this attitude right here toward Jesus lets you know you're forgiven. You say, well, preacher, shouldn't you feel forgiven? I don't always feel forgiven. How many of you say, I feel saved all day, every day? Raise your hand. Man, I'm glad I don't have to go by feelings, aren't you? Amen. I don't have to go by feelings. I've got the word. She got the word. She heard Jesus say, thy sins are forgiven. There's nothing like hearing Him say, come here. Come here. You're forgiven. You have eternal life. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. Amen. And then finally, He said, go in peace. Go in peace. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about this week, and you can stand to your feet. One of the things that I was thinking of this past week, I was thinking, God, thank you for peace. I'm so thankful for forgiveness. But you know, without forgiveness, I wouldn't have peace. I wouldn't. God, thank you that I'm at peace with you. Thank you, Lord. That battle's over. God, thank you that I'm at peace with me. I have peace in my heart, brethren. I'm glad that battle is over. Thank you that I can have peace with others. How about you? Do you have peace? Well, if you're saved, you have peace with God. But are you at peace with yourself? This woman done what she was led to do. She went, she bowed, she worshiped, she anointed, she loved, she praised. And He said, I want to reassure you, you're in a right standing. Your sins are forgiven. Now go. And if you'll just look at that carefully, it means go into peace. Brethren, I've stepped into peace. Have you stepped into peace? You have peace. Is your heart full of anxiety and worry? Is there wars raging that shouldn't be raging? Peace. Peace. I'm not just talking about peace with God. I'm talking about the peace of God. Do you have peace? That's where it's at. The world is trying everything for peace. But there's a peace that only God can give. I trust that you know it. Would you bow your head with me?